chapter 3, verse 16. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth.
My mind is this, and I can't focus on what I want to. It will be a blur. I'll be back and forth, so bear with me. I did want to say something about our marriage then and there. And Sam, you'll appreciate this. The responses that we have down there were great. I talked to someone today, and they said they would love to be able to do this again. And they want to maybe have some couples that get together, have dinner, work up their way. There was a couple from Marietta. But it was a good time. And I really appreciated what Corey had to say when they was asking us a question about what's the secret to marriage. And that he's not been married very long, but I thought he gave a very good answer. Date every day. And I think that's what that was a good answer for me, at least. Sometimes I think we get lost in the moments and we forget what our marriage does for us. And sometimes we just need to refocus, so it was a great time. I am not a, I wish I could use a computer, but I can't. So, growing up, I like seeing change. I like seeing change within myself. I like seeing change within other people. With if I'm doing something on the farm and I'm cleaning it up, I like seeing change. And I think about this, and some of you are right here. Richard Simmons. Man, I watch that all the time. I'd get me a big bowl of Rice Krispies, I'd sit down. And I would watch that guy encourage them women and have so much faith in them that that they wanted to change. And he was a very uplifting for a person like me. And then he faded away, and it was a long time after that, and maybe some of the younger people relate to this, is The Biggest Loser. That was my most second favorite, because I was getting a bowl of ice cream, and I would sit there, and I would watch it. And you know, they had a rule that they done, and their rule was like, you gotta stay above this yellow line, okay? If you fall below this yellow line, you're going to get sent home. And that yellow line was stressful for a lot of them, because no matter how hard they worked sometimes from week to week, they were just nervous that they were going to get below that yellow line. And if you've seen the show, you know what I'm talking about. So they worked hard, didn't they? They didn't want to fall below that yellow line. Then he read out of Revelation 3 about being lukewarm. And sometimes I think and I feel that's what I am. I'm a lukewarm person. I'm a lukewarm Christian. I say to Jesus, I love you. You're part of my life. But a lukewarm person, a lot of times what we'll do, we will gauge our goodness. How do we do that? We gauge if I can't, I know I do by comparing myself to the world. As long as I'm satisfied, as long as I'm not as bad as the world, then you know what? I'm right there above that yellow line. I'm not below it. And you know, that's not a good way of thinking. Because I'm comparing myself, and as long as I feel like I'm good or better than someone, then that puts my pride a little higher. I know that I say I love God, but I don't do it with all my heart. I don't do it with all my mind and my soul and my strength. Where does that put me as a lukewarm Christian? I get caught up in this. I think about life on earth more than I do eternity in heaven. Here's what I do. Here's my today's checklist. Let me see. What do I got scheduled for next week? And let's see. Vacation next month. I got all that down. I don't think about, you know, our upcoming gospel meeting. I might not think about our marriage weekend. I might not even think about Sunday evening and Wednesday night. Just as long as I make it one time. That's what the lukewarm does to you. I think what I'm going to do is I'm just going to go through all of my notes and then I'll talk about what I have here. A yoke. Growing up, most of us older generations know what a yoke is. It distributes weight evenly. Let me just draw that out for you. I'm not an artist, but I will draw that out. Now, this type of yoke is for animals. They have an oxen goat here, they have an oxen goat there. And when they are distributing the weight, when they're pulling their weight, they are walking hand in hand, foot in foot. Pulling, doing their job. That is being equally good. Then you lift weights. I can't tell. Zane's right arm is not bigger than his left. He don't put more weight on one side than he does the other. Why would he? If he did, why would he do that? So that he can make, so that he can get one side built up bigger than the other? No. He puts his hands equally apart. He gets his hands equally apart. And he puts the same amount of weight on each side. That is equally distributed. And he does that for a reason. The same way that people would use an ox and with their yoke. What if you weren't distributed equally? What if you weren't distributed equal with your spouse? More importantly, with God. I do two triangles. And if you had to climb this, let's just think of this as a mountain. If you had to climb these, which would be the hardest or the easiest to climb? You are correct if you're thinking physically, but this is spiritually that we're talking about because that's what we are. We're spiritual individuals. This is the easiest to climb. Let's just say that I'm sitting down here on this plane right here. It don't matter which one you are. Some people Christianity just comes so easy that it just comes almost second nature. Others have to work harder, strive longer, strive harder. If I'm down here, let's just say that I know someone that, you know, let's just say this is my wife, this is my children, let's just say this is Christ on the other side. I cannot cross over this. Same thing down here. Here I am on this one. I cannot cross over to the one that I love. Why? Because of Revelation 3. Because I am weak one. I can't cross that bridge there. There is a gap here that I cannot cross. How am I going to get there? I am going to take a route, and I am going to start climbing. I'm going to start climbing this hill, this mountain, this whatever is in front of me, I am going to climb, seriously. I've seen this triangle thing before, but I've just added it. But can you see as the stronger and the more that I climb, who do I get closer to? The one that I love. The one that I want to be closest to. There's him. Choose your wife. Choose your children. Choose God here. Because that is who you're trying to get closer to. I have a couple other verses. Let's see if I can do that. I made this up. I'm lukewarm, right? How far up the ladder do you have to go before you become not lukewarm anymore? Lukewarm, remember, is down here. Down here on this pinnacle. But let's just say that I think that I am just a little bit better than everyone else. That's not very far out, is it? You see how hard it is sometimes for us to climb? I just went from here to point zero in less than 1 second. Because, you know, what I did not draw is this mirror image goes the other way as well. The further I come down, the further I get away from who? God. We're putting God right here. He is supposed to be at our pinnacle. He is supposed to be the one that we focus on the most. We can get this way just as well. You can take that as hell if you want to, but lukewarm to me is just as much of a ticket to hell as anywhere else. I'm going to move up just a little bit. And I start to balance out. But the closer I get to God, who am I getting closer to? Where is my strength right here? My strength comes right here the closer I get to God. And if you can't tell, me, God, children, spouse, husband, wife, look how much closer I am to them. Because we are walking together. We are hand in hand. And this will not happen to us. This is not going to happen to us. We're not going to be thinking, oh, worldly things. Because down here at this pinnacle right here, remember, this is your lukewarmness. This is everything about the world. And the more we are closer to God, the stronger we become. I can't explain that hard enough. And sometimes I think that we get unbalanced with God. And that's easy to do. We are unbalanced. Amos 3:3 says, how can we walk together unless we be agreed? So I hope you think that, you know, when you come to church, the more often you're here, that when you walk together with someone, the more that you're going to agree, the closer you're going to become. And it's what did Christ do when he was tempted? In Matthew, and I'll end with this. Matthew, he said, every sentence starts with, it is written. If we can get to that point in our life, the one thing I do like is that when someone talks about something, I like it when John speaks up and he goes, well, you know, the Bible says, and it might be something that we're thinking that, hey, this might be, but, you know, I like it that he can kind of pinpoint it down for us. I like it that he can kind of go right where. That's where we need to be in our life. We can say, when we're tempted, we can say, oh, it's written there. I shouldn't steal. If we have that ingrained in our mind, oh, that's tempting to do, but you know what? I know that I shouldn't do that. And I think when you have a counterpart that is standing beside of you, it just makes that journey so much easier. You may not even have a sound of heart, but I'll tell you what, the closer you get to God, who's on the other side over here? Your church family. Your church family is just as strong a number as your earthly family are. Your church family is there to help you through all of your struggles. And I think that's what we need to do. Sometimes we need to lean on them a little bit more. Let them know that, hey, this is what's going on in my life. So, I hope I was able to illustrate that pinnacle to where the closer we are to God, the closer we are to one another. And just as Amy said, how can two of us walk together unless we be agreed? And let's agree on everything that Christ wants us to agree for.